Zechariah chapter 5, this is a very strange vision of Zechariah. But I tell you, to be honest, the more I dug into what's being shown to him, it's not just profound, it's helpful. And of course, all the Bible is, if we'll let the Lord speak to our hearts with it. Very strange vision tonight. Zechariah chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 5, "Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the heaven and the earth. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, To build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base." Now, we've got to get an understanding of some terms before we look into this passage and understand what's being said. What is an ephah? An ephah is the largest measuring vessel among the Jewish people. It's like a bushel basket. It's a little bit bigger than a bushel basket that we would have. But it's a measuring vessel to measure grain, whatever. And so that's what the ephah is. And then the talent of lead. The talent of lead, a talent of lead is the heaviest weight among the Jewish people. So you have this basket that measures things, and you have a talent of lead that is on the top of this basket. And then you have the prophet being shown that there's something in the basket. And what's in the basket is a woman. And what the angel tells Zechariah is, this is wickedness. So to get the understanding of what all he's seeing, the angel is describing to Zechariah the wickedness that is in the world and what is going to happen to that wickedness. And that wickedness is moving. It's flying. It's being taken somewhere. It's being taken into a land of Shinar, and it's going to be established there, that wickedness. And it's going to be set up on her own base, that hers, that woman again that's in there. And that wickedness is going to have a base in the earth. And these things are very prophetical. Some people have tried to say, well, these two women that fly this thing is, you know, the two nations, Assyria and Babylon that took Israel into captivity. And Israel is the woman and she goes into captivity. Well, that can't be true because even though Israel lived a wicked life, all of these things that are being written are in the future. You see verse 11? And he said unto me, to build an house. In other words, he says, they're going to take this. They're going to fly this away. And the captivity has already occurred and it's already over and the people are already back in the land. You understand? So he's not referencing something in the past that's already done and gone. No, no. And it's very plain. He says, verse 8, this is wickedness. He's talking about the wickedness that's in the world. And the wickedness is not just in a few places. Look what he says in verse 6. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah. Remember, ephah is the largest measurement. So he's talking about how big a measurement of wickedness this is. You understand? He's measuring the wickedness. And he's saying, this is a big basket of wickedness. And it's the heaviest thing is going to be put on the top of it. It's showing the big scope of how big this wickedness is. Look at verse 6. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said also in verse 5, what is this that goeth forth? So it's going somewhere. In the verse 6, he said moreover, look at this. This is their resemblance through all the earth. In other words, this wickedness is going to be carried through all the earth. It's a global problem. It's a global effect. When you go all the way back to verse 3, would you look back at verse 3? Because it goes together with it. Verse 3, then said he unto me, this is the curse. Remember we talked about the curse? This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. Now get the picture now. The curse is over all the earth. Why? Because wickedness is being spread through all the earth. You see the connection. Now, Scofield's notes and other Bibles that try to change the Word of God say, no, it's not in all the earth, and it's not, no, it's just localized. No, no. The curse is all over the world, and the wickedness is gone all over the world. That's the picture the angel is painting and showing Zechariah. Now, what can I learn from that? I can learn a couple of things from that. Look at verse 5 again. He says, what is this that goeth forth? This thing is going forth. It's moving. It's moving through the earth. And it's even going to be picked up with two women with wings like a stork and flown between heaven and earth, flying through the earth. In other words, wickedness is on the move. You know what? Listen. You and I are not going to stop the movement of wickedness. I wish I could. Now, as salt, I can sort of hinder its spread, at least around me. You understand? Zechariah loves the Lord. Zechariah is standing for God. The remnants there gathered, they're trying to do what God told them to do, but guess what's happening with wickedness? It's still running everywhere. It's flying everywhere. It's on the move. And don't get discouraged, and I think Zechariah needed to know this, and we need to know this. Don't get discouraged as wickedness spreads throughout the world, because it is not our ability to stop the false religion, which is what this wickedness is. There's all types of wickedness, by the way. Wickedness can be wicked living, but wickedness can also be wicked religion that's being spread. It can also be wicked doctrine that's being spread, or wicked values that are being spread around the world. Wickedness takes a variety of forms. And as the church of the living God, we are not going to bring in the kingdom. We are not going to change the whole world. We are not going to stop wickedness in the world. It is hard enough for you to stop wickedness in your own family. And we're not going to stop it from being spread in all the world. Well, then do I get discouraged? No, I don't get discouraged. I understand the wickedness. I see the wickedness. I need to recognize the wickedness. That's what the angel's doing. Look here. You see, okay, we got this covered. Look here. Look in here, Zechariah. See that? Yes, yeah, I see that. That is wickedness. Do you understand what he's trying to do? Zechariah, you need to know what is wicked. And that is wickedness. What was it? It was a woman. Is that right? What did it say? You know, there may be somebody in your life that's wicked that you need to spot that. Now, this woman is going to also represent a matriarchal religion or a religion built around a woman, which is also wickedness. But what I'm trying to say, it is important for the prophet. It's important for the church. It's important for the Christian to recognize what wickedness is. So though it's spreading in the world, it doesn't spread to you. We live in a day where people don't even know what's wicked anymore. And we're not going to stop. We can't cry, you know, in our iced tea and say, oh, what are we going to do about the world? The world, the Bible's our toast. The world's going to wax. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse. The world's going to get to the place where God told Zechariah is going to get. It's going to get to where it's set up on its own base and it's all going to worship at the altar of wickedness before the Lord comes. That's where it's headed. And I'm not going to stop that. And the church is not going to stop that. But you know what I want? I want exactly what happened in this story in Zechariah chapter 5. You know what happened to the wickedness? It flew away from Zechariah. It's moving, but thank God it was moving away from him. That's the picture here. It's going away from Zechariah to another land where it will be exalted, set up. But it's not going to be exalted in Jerusalem. It's not going to be exalted in the land where the people of Israel are abiding. It's not going to be exalted in the land where Zechariah is preaching and where Haggai is preaching. No, no. It's going to have to fly somewhere else to get set up on its own base and be exalted. It's flying away from them. And that's what we want. We want wickedness to get away from us. Now let's go through some of this stuff here. Verse 7. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. So this talent of lead is over top of this basket or this ephah. And he lifts it up. Look in there. Like the genie in the bottle. You know, there are no new plots. All the plots of Hollywood have somewhere come from a long age old story. And there's a whole lot of plots here because this woman that's down in this bottle and something's keeping her in the basket. Look at there. Peek-a-boo. She's sitting down there in that ephah. You see, just read it. Verse 7, and there was lifted up a talent of lead, and there's a colon which separates the two entities, the two thoughts. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. It's like the angel said, okay, you see this talent of lead? Now look here, I'm going to lift it up. Now look, you see this here? That's a woman in there. And that woman, verse 8, and he said, this is wickedness. Now watch this. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. So, it's keeping the woman down in the basket. Right. Who is the wickedness? You know what I'm glad? We can't stop wickedness, but it sure is good that God does have the power to keep the top on sometimes. Amen. He can keep the top on and then he can do some things to where the devil just moved that wickedness on out to another place. That's what's going on here. Now, why a woman? Why a woman? Why does he say a woman? Get Revelation 17. And with your other hand, get Jeremiah 44. I really almost have to go to the last verse that we read here in this passage. Because he's taking it to the land of Shinar. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to read Revelation first. I want you just go to Jeremiah 44 first. You've got to get the context. This is not just a picture of what's happening in Zechariah's day. This is a picture of what's happening in the whole world. And we're living in the end days of the culmination of it. And the longer we live and the closer we get to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church, the more the wickedness is going to be set up upon her own base and the more it's going to fly and move. Haven't you always noticed that morals constantly are moving? But they're not moving in the right direction. They never do. Why? Because the devil's in charge of the world. That doesn't mean he has to be in charge of you. Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44, let's pick up verse 17. But we will certainly do, you know what happens here? God, through Jeremiah, rebukes them about their wickedness. Look at verse 9, because remember, we're talking about wickedness, right? This is before the captivity. This is right when they're going into captivity. Jeremiah 44 and verse 9. Have you forgotten the wickedness, that's what we're talking about, of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day. Drop down to verse 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had... Here's the problem. These men, their wives are burning incense and they're worshiping a false god, and the men are too cowardly to do anything about it. Now, that's getting close to where we live. Because as one of my best friends in the ministry, Brother Knox, said, he said 90% of every Christian will take the side of their family over God. Now, what happened right here is there's a bunch of men in Judah and their wives start worshiping a false god. And what do? They take their wife's position instead of God's. Look at it, verse 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burnt incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Patharos, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. 17, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the who? The Queen of Heaven. A matriarchal religion. A religion centered around a woman. Just like the wickedness of Zechariah as he writes about. One of the things that sent Israel into captivity finally was that they were worshiping the Queen of Heaven, and God says, I'm sick of that. To pour out drink offerings unto her as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things that have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. Believe that? They said, man, when we worshiped the devil, things went better. Well, maybe you belong to him. But when we worship God, we have a problem. Hey, it's not doing right that causes people problems. They may misinterpret that. Verse 19, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out our drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Right there, you've never seen a better picture of the mass of day in your life. There's a cake. There's a drink offering. It's up to heaven. A female deity is discussed. I hope God gives Mary, the mother of Jesus, time to go slap everybody's face that tried to worship her. She has gotten such a bad rap. She never would have done that. How would you like things done in your name like that? And then Jeremiah responds to him, verse 20, and he preaches to them a little while, and they're not going to listen. Verse 25, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. And then he tells them what God's going to do to them. Now, their religion was centered around a female deity. Go all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Solomon had the same problem. That's why God got so angry at him. You know where we live, guys, today in 2017? We live in a matriarchal society with matriarchal religions. And it's probably an offense to the majority of the world that we say God is a he. That's an offense. So what do you do? What do the world do? They make their own God. They worship a woman. 1 Samuel, Bible says in chapter 7, verse 3, and the God said, that's wickedness. It's wickedness. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth. That's a female goddess. From among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam, that's the male god, and Ashtaroth, that's the female god, and serve the Lord only. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. If you want to get a good book that goes into this, I'm not going to go into it too deeply, but it's Alexander Hislop's Two Babylons, and he shows the progression throughout the history of the world of people worshiping a woman. And how that will culminate and does culminate, not just in the Roman Catholic Church, but whether it be Ashtoreth here or Astarte or Ishtar, whether it's Egyptian gods or whatever, or if it's Diana of the Ephesians, they're saying they're worshiping, say great, or if it's Mother Nature, which is out of hell. There is no Mother Nature. That is paganism. And you hear it everywhere. No, there's God. And he's not your mother. And the things that happen is not because Mother Nature's mad. It may be God's mad. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Mother Nature doesn't have anything to do with it. It's paganism. It's wickedness. And whether they're worshiping the summer solstice or dancing around their little poles in their Wicca ceremony, it's all wickedness. Solomon got caught up in it. You'd think the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus would know better. But you know what? His wife. And he took his wife's First Kings chapter 11, verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians. And verse 6 says it was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, there's another thing there. I'm going to run a rabbit if I'm not careful. But Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians. If you go back to the book of Judges, the Zidonians were the people that lived in quiet. And the tribe of Dan, which was an idolatrous tribe of Israel, went into Zidon and they conquered Zidon. And they went into Zidon, they made a boy their priest. They bought him off. And he became a priest to their family. And they called him father. That's just what the Bible says. They made a priest of a young man and called him father. And they go into the Zidon, and they overtake the people because they lived quietly. And they were heathen worshipers of a goddess. So you got a priest that's called father that made an idol, a graven image. And now you put goddess worship with it. And that's who Solomon marries one of those women and starts going after that goddess. And God says, that's evil. That's wickedness. That's wickedness. This is wickedness. Now, in Zechariah, now they're going to fly this ephah with a woman in it to the land of Shinar. That's so important because the first kingdom of man started there. Go to Genesis chapter 10. I'm going to get to Revelation in just a second. But Genesis chapter 10. You ever read over there in Matthew 13 about that woman that's putting all that leaven in everything? That's, leaven's not a good thing. It's a type of sin. And the woman's leavening it. Type of false doctrine, false religion. All religion's not good. Matter of fact, one of the biggest problems in the whole world is religion. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore he said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of where? Shinar. And this man is going to build not a godly kingdom. And it's going to culminate, look at chapter 11, Genesis 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. That is where the devil wants to get all of mankind. He wants to get everybody together. That's all of the devil's plan is to get everybody in one place together speaking the same thing so he can be God. And all of them are together here. Verse 2. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of where? Shinar. That's where the wickedness is headed. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime them more. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And that was a bad thing. When all the people got together, they didn't get together for good and to worship God. They got together to do something contrary to God. Ecumenicalism is the ploy of the devil. That's why every boundary is trying to be erased. Because we will not tolerate anybody having any other opinion than that which the one world opinion has to be. So we will stamp you out. And the sooner you Christians leave, the better for us. So then we don't have to worry with your opinion. One world, one language, one tower, one cause, one goal. Contrary to God's will. The Lord says, behold, the people's one. They have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. If man would just stop, maybe he could just wonder, how did we get so many languages? We all came from the same person. Why is everything so mixed up? Because God wanted to separate people. Oh, that's a dirty word. He wanted people to be separated. And the more you can separate from wickedness, the safer you are. Amen. And the more it flies to somebody else's land and gets out of your land, the better you are. But you know what the devil does? I'm all over the place. What the devil does, he lets that woman stay in that little basket. In other words, the devil never shows all his cards to anybody. He carries his wickedness around in a package, but won't show you what's inside. It's not just the woman flying to Shinar. It's not just the wickedness lifting itself up between heaven and earth. No, no. It's got to be put in a basket so you can't see the very wickedness. So it has a hidden part to it. Man, I hate the devil. Because what the devil wants to do, look at this basket. Isn't it a pretty basket? You'll like this basket. It's a genie in the bottle. Just rub it, make a wish. Oh, it'll be good things in here. I promise you, it'll work out just great. But hey, guys, wickedness never works out great. And whatever the devil offers you, it's going to be bad in the end. And he's not going to show all of his package. He's just going to spread it and keep having it move and try to bring it in your life. And so what the Lord says, I'm just going to confuse all their language, and they're all going to speak a different language. So the Lord scattered them abroad, verse 8 of chapter 11 of Genesis, from the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called what? Babel. Daniel chapter 1. We're getting the Shinar and the image and the woman and the Babel and the Babylon all together here. And what's being set up? Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 2. Well, look at verse 1. In the third year of the reign, Daniel 1, 1. The third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of where? Babylon. And that's where all of Zechariah's people just left. You understand? King of Babylon and Jerusalem besieged it, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of where? Shinar. To the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Does anybody know what happens in Daniel chapter 3? An image is set up. He's set up on a base, and it's Nebuchadnezzar's image. And everybody has to fall down and worship. It's all ecumenical. Everybody, one speech, one language, one God, one praise. And it's the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And if you don't do it, you're going into the fiery furnace. And there was just a few, three guys said, nope, sorry. We're going to be sticking the muds and we're not getting involved in that wickedness. Not doing it. And boy, you talk about the anger. And when you don't join into the wickedness of the world, they get mad too. So they put up this image. They're going to worship that image. And that image is wickedness. Now go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, the Bible says, verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. That's a woman. That's a bad woman. Well, you can't use those words much anymore today, can you? You might be offensive. Isn't it crazy that the world's not offended at the F word or GD, but they're offensive? They're offended when you say the word whore in the right context? We have a wild society. God says, let me show you this great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of their for fornication. That's wickedness. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman. That's what Zechariah saw. Sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Now what the devil's trying to do, he's trying to get that beast from that that woman from that basket onto the beast. And that's what all of history's been about. To finally get this woman on the beast. On the Antichrist. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was her name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. It's almost like the angel got mad and rebuked John. The angel said to me, wherefore didst thou marvel? Don't you marvel at that woman? She's wickedness. She's the wickedness that everybody's going after. Now here's the thing. Listen to me. God's got a city. The devil's got a city. God's got a son. The devil's got a son. God has a Christ. The devil has a Christ. And what this whole world is gearing up to a big crescendo is when all the world bows down at the feet of the beast who has set up his image. Look at chapter, hold your finger, look at chapter 13, Revelation 13. The same beast. Verse 13, Revelation 13, 13. And he doeth, this whole chapter is about the Antichrist. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, just like Nebuchadnezzar did of himself, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Listen, they're going to set up this image of the beast, who is the Antichrist. It's an idol. It's a big image, just like Nebuchadnezzar. And the devil is going to give that image power to become alive. And the Bible says, verse 15, that the image of the beast should both speak and calls that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all. See that one world? All, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And that's where we're all headed to. But the church isn't, because I'm leaving. So why would I want to be a part of any of that? Now go back to Revelation 18. I'm not finished. Revelation 18, 3 says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's that woman. That false matriarchal religion that the devil is carrying, all that wickedness that she brings. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich, the abundance of her delicacies. So they've all gotten rich off of this woman. They've all gotten rich off of this wicked society. And the beast culminates it by saying, nobody can buy a loaf of bread or buy a Pepsi unless you bow down and worship me and take my mark. So he's controlling the economy. And verse 2 matches our text. Revelation 18, 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great. Remember where Babylon is now. Babylon is in the land of Shinar. Babylon the Great is fallen. See, I'm glad it didn't matter what they set up. Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation set up in the temple where it ought not be, you know, That's that image. And of course, we'll be gone. We're part of the church. We're out of here. But he said, when you see that, you know, you better run, because all hell's fixing to break loose. Literally. And everybody's got, watch this, Babylon the Great is fallen. Though he's going to set that up, God's going to bring it all down. He's going to make it all come crashing down. Babylon the Great is fallen. Now watch this now. And it's become the habitation of what? Devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's weird. Now get now let's go back. Are we going back to Zechariah? Get Matthew chapter 13. Have I lost anybody? I'm trying to keep it understandable. What God is showing Zechariah is not just for Zechariah's day. It's the wickedness that spreads throughout the whole earth that culminates in the last great kingdom, Babylon, that the Antichrist rules. And when that woman and that wickedness finally is exalted where the devil wants it to be. And the Bible says that place is going to be filled with foul spirits, unclean and hateful birds and devils. Matthew chapter 13, the Bible says verse 4. Jesus says, and when he sowed some seeds, you know what that is? That's the Word of God. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to sow the seeds of the Word of God everywhere we go. But now we have a battle. Because look at it. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the what? The fowls came and devoured them up. Well, who are the fowls? Look at the explanation of the parable, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word, you see that? Of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the who? The wicked one. He's the dirty bird. He's the fowl. He's the unclean bird. The foul spirit. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now look up here. You know what the truth is? People come to church and some people, the Word of God makes no effect in their heart and life. You know why? Because as soon as the Word of God is put in their heart, they walk out and they let the devil, some foul spirit, take it right out of their heart. If we don't respond to the Word of God, we leave it as fodder for the devils. Hey, if you are a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word, it's not helping you anything. It's just making the devils feast upon what's in your heart and mind. Just take it right out. Now go back to Zechariah. So, in verse 9 of chapter 5 of Zechariah, he says, "Then lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork." Stop. A stork in the Bible, whether it's Leviticus chapter 11, verse 19, or Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 18 to 20, a stork is an unclean bird. A stork is an abomination. So here we have another fantasy of society. The stork bringing the packages. Well, there's only one thing wrong with that. The stork is an abomination. And what the stork is carrying isn't your little precious baby. It's wickedness. Isn't that messed up? You got two women that have wings. You ever seen that picture anywhere? It's all over society. And they say, well, that's an angel. Oh, no, it's not. There's only one place in the Bible where women had wings, and you're looking at it. And they're not carrying the Son of God, and they're not carrying the Word of God. They're carrying wickedness. These two women with wings are facilitating, and they are carriers of wickedness. To go set that wickedness up in a land of Shinar, Babylon, which is a whore, which is the Antichrist kingdom ultimately, and put her on a base and set up that image there. These are foul spirits. These are evil spirits. Just like in Babylon chapter 18, it talks about those unclean birds. That's the stork. The foul spirit, the hateful bird. The foul spirits, the wicked one that grabs the Word of God. And there are people all around that think those women with those wings, oh, isn't that pretty? No, that's not pretty. It's wickedness. And they're not fallen angels. Every angel in the Bible is male. And not any of them have wings. They're all men. And you can even see one and not even know you saw one. So here are these two women that are devils. And I say they're not fallen angels. You know, all the devils aren't fallen angels. There are other created beings of God. There are seraphim and there are cherubim. And over there in the book of Revelation chapter 11, he talked about a bunch of locusts that came out of the bottomless pit. And they looked all kind of weird, funny. And you know what they had? They had wings. They're flying and they're stinging people. Let me show you one more. I'll really freak you out. Go to Isaiah 34. There's some wild stuff out there the devil has. And you that's why you want to say this. Okay, get it as far away from me as you can. I don't want the wickedness around me. You know, there are images, there are pictures, there are things that invite those devils into people's houses and homes and lives. Isaiah 34. This is at the end of the tribulation period. The Lord's going to come back and Armageddon's going to take place and we'll be on those white horses with him. And this is what the Bible says. Verse 4, Isaiah 34, 4. "And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf fall from off the vine and as the falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword, remember that sword that proceeds out of his mouth, which is the word of God? My sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, upon the people of my curse, to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats and the fat of kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns shall come down with them and the bullocks with their bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood. That's Armageddon. And their dust shall be made fat with fatness. That's when God's going to destroy all that wickedness the devil set up. Verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense. Offenses for the controversy of Zion, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. Don't have time to get in that. The Bible says fire proceeds out of his mouth, a fire goes before him, and starts burn and kindles a fire in the earth. Verse 10, it shall not be quenched day, night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation shall I waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant, you know what that is? That's a bird. And the bittern, you know what that is? That's a bird. Shall possess it. Birds possessing something. Like spirits. And the owl also and the raven. You ever wonder why that raven was sent out by Noah and it never came back? You know the only thing that was out there? Dead things. There's a dirty bird. But when he sent out the dove brought back something that was alive. The dove is like the Holy Spirit, right? Said, I saw the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. That's the clean spirit. Not the wicked spirit. That's the one you need in your box. The raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch upon it the line of confusion, the stones of emptiness. This is what happens when Jesus Christ comes again, and Armageddon takes place, fire out of his mouth. Now watch this. Verse 13. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles. This is in the kingdom of the devil. In the fortresses thereof, and it shall be a habitation of what? And you thought those weren't real. Habitation of dragons and a court for owls. Verse 14. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island. And the... What is that? The satyr shall cry to his fellow, and the screech owl also shall rest there and find herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather her shadow. There shall the vultures be. All these dirty birds getting together in this fire and this destruction. And he says there'll be a satyr there. You know what a satyr is? Look it up in the dictionary. It's half something and half something else. That's what a satyr is. People have criticized the King James Bible. Says, see there. The Bible's talking about mythology. There are a lot of things in the spirit world you don't have any idea what they are. I'm telling you, the devil's got representatives. He's got principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. He's just not got a few fallen angels. He's got a whole chorus to do his bidding. He's got women with the wings of stork carrying his wickedness around. He's got satyrs. Look at chapter 11. I got to finish this, man. Y'all listen good. But in chapter 11, he says the same thing in Isaiah. Or 13. Isaiah 13, I'm sorry. Isaiah 13, 19. Watch this. Now, look at the context. The Bible fits all together, guys. 13, 19. And Babylon, you see that? That's in the land of Shinar. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. How did he do that? With fire and brimstone. That didn't happen in Daniel's day. It's going to happen. 20. It shall never be inhabited. Well, you can go over there right now. It's in the Middle East. It's in Iraq. That's not happened yet. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. You know why? You can't pitch a tent in a lake of fire. There's fire there. He'd burn it up. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. Look at verse 21. But wild beasts, we're talking about spiritual things here, guys. Wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs, there it is again, shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate house, and dragons in their pleasant places, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. You say, oh, that makes me scared. I don't want to watch those freaky Hollywood movies about devil possession. Man, that's a cakewalk. That ain't got nothing to do with how wicked and powerful and ugly the devil is. That makes it look good. The devil, when he has his way and he fills things with his wicked spirits and they just fly all over the place. And you see, here's the bad thing. The devil's trying to fly in your life and drop a box in your house, see. I got to finish. Go back to Zechariah. I'm done. Verse 9, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. Those are devils, man. Those are foul spirits. And they lifted up, but they look nice, you see. God ain't going to come to you the devil's not going to come to you with a pitchfork, man. He's going to come to you with a pretty woman with wings. Come to you as a satyr, a demigod, a half man, a half animal, or half angel, or half something. Half devil or half, locust. Bible says, behold, there came out two women. The wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephod between the earth and the heaven. Then said I, the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephod? Where are they going with that wickedness? Verse 11, he said unto me to build it a house in the land of Shinar. They're going back where you came from. And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. And you know what? If I was Zechariah, I would just say, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, that this wickedness has not found a place where we're living, but it's having to fly somewhere else. Listen, to set up a base. Did you see that? They're going to fly this wickedness to set up a base. Now look, guys, I told you, we can't stop wickedness in the world. But you can stop wickedness from setting up a base in your heart, in your mind, in your home, and in our church. Amen. We can't keep it from flying around, but we can keep it from setting up a base in my life. Now listen, as I'm trying to close, I'll say this. I want to help everybody. I really do. I have a burden in my heart to help everybody. But you know, there's some people you can't help. And sometimes God moves somebody out of our lives. Sometimes God flies away someone out of our church or away from us, though we wanted to help, to get a bad influence in another place away from us that are trying to do what's right. I don't know if you understand what I just said. But I want to help everybody. But some people you can't help, and some people will hurt you. They will hurt your testimony. They will hurt your children. They will hurt your family. Even maybe they don't mean to. But just like there are tools of the Spirit of God, there are tools of the devil in people. And what breaks my heart is I can't help everybody, but sometimes God makes something fly away from you for your benefit. And when Zechariah saw him flying that thing away, he just should have thanked you, Lord. It's going to have a base somewhere else, but not where I'm trying to serve, not where I'm trying to preach, not with my family, not here. So the devils will rage. Let them rage somewhere else. Evil spirits are everywhere. Let them be somewhere else.